Embrace Your Beautiful Destiny, a show where we will talk about finding beauty in the most unconventional places in our lives. So every week, we'll talk about dealing with disappointment or overcoming frustration, and dealing with stuff that just gets under your skin and derails you. We'll also have amazing guests on here that'll be sharing their stories. So I'm your host, Shanna Strange. Let's dive in. Okay, here we are. Yay. So I'm super excited about today because I've got my friend Heather Schultz on with me. Say hi.
Hi.
Heather and I have been through some ministry together and some fun times and some not so fun times over the past, off and on the past 10 years. But here's a little bit about her. So I'm just going to read the bio a little bit. She was born and raised in Texas. And this Southern girl stays true to her roots, yay, of faith and family in her own honest and unique way. Though she dreamed of becoming a Christian singer and teacher since the age of 8, God has led Heather on an unexpected journey that now unlocks a new expedition, the opportunity to openly share the ups and downs, personal struggles, and victories she's experienced over the past 4 decades of life through writing. Her readers will appreciate her vulnerability and will be encouraged by her heartfelt determination to bring others alongside her own walk of healing. So, and Heather's happily married to her husband, Brandon, of 16 years, although they have 3 beautiful children, which Hunter, Skylar, and Summer, and they enjoy spending quality time as a family on outdoor adventures and an impromptu house concert in pajamas. Each morning, always begins the little coffee and a whole lot of Jesus because essentials. I know we've talked about that before, how we both can't live without coffee. We've tried.
Yes.
And it just doesn't go well for anybody around us.
Can't do it. Just can't do it.
Just not morning people.
Not at all.
So thank God for it. Yeah. So Heather worked as an elementary school teacher for 7 years while simultaneously pursuing music ministry on the weekends and touring as a backup vocalist for me, yay, and serving as a worship leader in local churches. Currently, Heather shares her love of music with preschoolers part-time and blogs for her ministry at heatherschultz.org each week. Yay! So that's a little bit about Heather. That's a lot, man. I mean, we could just spend a long time just talking about that journey that you took to get where you are right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so today I thought we'd kind of look at some of the, cause I think a lot of what we have in common is figuring out, or this journey kind of unfolding where we thought it was one thing, but it ended up being something else.
Yeah.
And working through the disappointment that comes with that.
Yes.
So yes. What insights do you have about that?
Oh, man. You know, just to go back for people that don't know me, I mean, I can remember being 8 years old. I actually wrote about this in an article a few weeks ago, but I was 8 years old, you know, and back in the 80s, you remember Amy Grant was like the Christian artist,
right?
Like everybody knew who Amy Grant was. She was like the biggest thing. And I can remember literally like being in my living room and listening to her record on our family record player. And I had an hairbrush for a microphone. And I remember just singing at the top of my lungs, like pretending I was in concert with her. Like I was on stage in front of an audience singing her songs with her. And it was just a dream that I had at such a young age. Like I knew with everything in me that was what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to sing and I wanted to do it for the Lord, but I just had this huge dream and vision for my life that this is what I was going to be.
Yeah.
And that was really cool because, you know, while growing up and I asked the Lord to lead me in all of that. And he opened so many great doors and opportunities for me to be able to grow in that gift. Vocal training that he just opened up for me. I remember one year, I actually just kind of wrote down like on a little piece of paper one day, of, you know how at New Year's, how you kind of make a list of all the things I want to achieve this year.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And this one year, I just wrote down some crazy things. Like I was just like, I'm going to record a demo CD. You know, at the time I had no idea how to do that. Mm. I was just like, whatever, this is like a dream of my heart. One day I'm going to do this and I'm going to write it down. And lo and behold, that very year, the Lord opened up a door for me to record a demo, like craziness, right? Mm-hmm. And so of course I was just like, Lord, this is the way you're taking me. Like you're putting people in my life and you're setting things up perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
Leading me in this direction. And right. It was so awesome. And I will never, you know, I will never regret doing any of those mm-hmm. things because it was training ground for me. I learned a lot and I met tons of people because of those experiences. And I really think at times, maybe God puts desires in our hearts so that we will walk by faith in taking certain steps, not because necessarily it's something that we're called to do, but yeah. because of the people that we meet and that we encounter. Uh-huh. Not, you know, because we teach each other, we yeah, encourage yeah. one another. And because of the friendships and relationships that I made along that journey, I mean, those are the things that really changed my life, not necessarily going and singing for A&R reps in Nashville, although that was a fun experience. What I really remember taking away from those experiences were the relationships that I made while doing them.
I can so relate to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And I think it's taken me such a long time, like through, I mean, 42 years, well, really, I would say 32 years because I really wasn't pursuing music at birth, but just to say, I mean, how over that time, God just used it to really show me that it's not really about what you do. It's about who you are
yes.
And whose you are and the people you get to love and experience life with. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And it's taken me such a long time to get to that point and that place to understand that our significance is not in our doing. It's just in being. It's right. being who God created us to be. It's loving Him with everything that we are. And then at the same time, transferring that love to other people and loving them and walking in life with them and journeying through life with them and sharing His love with them. You know, I think it's just this past year, the Lord has really shown me how I think I have strived, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. strived so hard to be more and to do more. And that's not what God's calling us to do. He's mm-hmm. not calling us to live a life in strife and in striving constantly. He wants us to rest in Him. Mm-hmm. And that's where our contentment is found. That's where our significance is found. And that was really hard for me, you know, because, gosh, you know, the Lord has really revealed to me over the past few years how I've really had this performance mentality, mm-hmm. you yeah. know, mm-hmm. where I felt like I wasn't good enough. I wasn't worthy enough just being me, myself, and I, mm-hmm. that I felt like I had to prove that I mm-hmm. could be more. That I was something because I didn't really believe that for myself.
Right.
And so I had to perform. I had to excel mm-hmm. at something mm-hmm. just to gain even just a little bit of what I thought was worthiness, you know, and that, gosh, it was so backward, so backward.
Do you think that a lot of times it's because I found this to be true in my life, that it's an overcompensation for a flaw that you have. So it's like mm-hmm. you try to create this person that everybody will like. And then yes. you transfer that into your relationship with God. Okay, well, now I need to accomplish all these great things so that I will be worthy of God's love.
Yes.
It's yeah. really sad.
It is. Yeah. And I don't think that we realize we're doing it. Mm-mm. You know, I think it's, well, because when you look at society, really, if you think about it, in American societies, this may not right. be worldly, but in America, we are groomed from children that we have to earn, right? We have to work for whatever it is we want, mm-hmm. that we're not going to be freely given things. We, you know, like the, we always talk about, Brendan and I always talk about how you got to, what is it? You have to pull up your bootstraps
yeah,
and get
yeah,
to work, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the American dream. If you want it, you can have it. You just got to work for it, you know? And so I think that we're kind of groomed through life thinking, okay, well, if I want this, then by golly, I've got to do everything I can do to earn this and earn this and earn this and earn this and be more and be more and be more and be more. And it's, so it's all about the doing.
It's so exhausting.
And it is exhausting, you know? And when you look at scripture, this was really eye-opening to me when I learned this, but that Jesus was not overwhelmed in the doing.
Yeah, yeah.
He was not. And if you look at scripture, he even says, I only do what the Father is doing. I only say what the Father is saying. I mean, he's only going where God is leading. It's not like Jesus was out on the road going, come on, everybody. I want to heal everybody. I want to show myself to you. You come on. No, didn't do that. He didn't do that. And, you know, when he saw the opportunity, when he saw someone who truly was seeking him and knew that there was no other option, that I'm thinking of like the lady who bled for 12 years. Like she had sought out every doctor. She had sought out every medicine possible to try to heal herself, and nothing was working. Like nothing. Like I can just imagine her striving, like, okay, this doctor didn't help me. Let me go to the next one. Okay. That one didn't help me. Okay. Let me go to the next one. Like I can just think of her like for 12 years seeking out so many different things and nothing was working. And she had come to a place where she said, you know what? There's nothing else I can do. There's only one who can help me. And she literally like, you know, Jesus, and reached out for him. And I think that's when he said, you know, when he said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Yeah. And it was just, she knew that nothing else in this world was going to satisfy. She knew that nothing in this world was going to heal her or bring her, the life that she was so much craving. She knew that Jesus was the only one. And I think that there's a story in that, you know, like even for us, like we can be striving in life. We can go from, well, hey, well, this didn't work out, so let me go with this. Okay. Well, that didn't work out. Let me go with this. Okay. Well, that didn't work out. I am so guilty of that. guilty of that in my life. And just this past year, the Lord was like, stop, just stop, you know? You're seeking the life that you think you want through all of these things that are not going to bring you fulfillment. Yeah. I am the one. Let me lead you. Come to me. Find your rest in me and let me lead you to that thing.
Yeah.
But don't be in a hurry to go do something.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the flesh. I think the flesh just wants what it wants, and what we don't realize is we don't even know what we want.
Yeah.
I mean, you were talking about Jesus, and I was thinking about this the other day. I ran across a scripture that talks about how Jesus withdrew and how they wanted to push in front of the crowds, and he actually would say things like, no, it's not time. No, I need to be alone. We need to go apart from this and leave. And so, I mean, if he can say no to that platform of ministry that seems so big, and it seems like it would just like make you feel good about yourself. You have this big platform, you have all these people that need you. I mean, man, you know, that just stroke your ego. But Jesus is like, no, that's not what I'm all about. I'm about what the Father's about. And right now the Father's just about us being over here by ourselves and praying. And I'm like, we have got it so backwards.
So backward.
Especially in America.
Yes. So much so. Yes. I had a thought that I was going to say, and then I completely forgot it. What was it? When you were saying that, it was like, oh yeah, never mind. It'll come to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you know, we were kind of just talking about how I think God sent disappointment to, sidetrack us and to get us off of that roller coaster that we're on of performance. I call it circus Christianity, because I think what it is we feel often, like so many of us, I think the majority of people feel like there's something wrong with them. There's some kind of misfit or something, and they don't quite fit in, and society doesn't accept them. There's a large group of us that feel this way. And so what we do is we kind of peddle our gifts for this mob of people that we think, oh my gosh, if we can do all these crazy hard things. Like I wrote a chapter about it, didn't even include it in my book, but I talk about how, let's just imagine my daughter, who, you know, at the time, I think she was like 16 or 17 when I wrote it. She's beautiful. She has blonde hair, blue eyes, and, you know, like your daughter, your Skylar. And just imagine that she decides she wants to be a circus performer. And so she starts trying to ride a unicycle, and she's riding the unicycle, and she's like, okay, if I can get this down, then maybe I'll get some people think I'm awesome. But then she's like, well, that's not enough. Now I need to start juggling while I'm riding the unicycle. So she's practicing all the time and all the time and all the time. And she's spending all of her free time in the morning. And then when she gets home from school and she doesn't eat, and then she's like, oh my gosh, I have a few friends now because they saw me juggling on the unicycle, but now I need to juggle on the unicycle on a tightrope.
Yeah, right. So it just keeps escalating.
It just keeps getting harder and harder and harder. Yeah. And so, but then what happens is her hair becomes dull and stringy. She loses a bunch of weight. She's miserable. And she really doesn't even have any friends because they see her do that one time. Like, oh, that's great. You know, and that's exactly what we do. I think we do the same thing with relationships with people, but also with God. We just keep trying to raise the stakes higher and higher and not know that's why we're doing it.
Yeah.
Instead of like just getting into the secret place with him, because that's really what he wants.
Right. Yes. Yes. Totally. Gosh. If I could just, it would take me forever to really talk about the things that God has taught me regarding that stuff. I mean, because you're right. And I think that just comes to, you know, this year, my word for the new year was contentment. You know how everybody does like the word of the year or whatever. And in January, I kind of felt like that was going to be my word for the year, but I didn't want it to be. Because I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'm content. I'm fine. I'm content. And then one night I went and I was talking to my pastor and his wife. And I was really just kind of pouring out my heart at this point, because I was feeling that pressure of, okay, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I felt like I'm 42 years old and I haven't achieved anything of greatness in my view. You know, I was comparing myself to everybody in my age and going, well, look at them, look at so-and-so, look at so-and-so, they've done this and this and this and this, and look how great their life is and how, you know, look at all the things that they've achieved and all the things that they have, you know, and everything. I thought, and what have I done? I mean, I've done nothing. Like, I couldn't see anything good that I had achieved. And which was making me want to spin my wheels even more. Like, okay, I haven't done enough. Like, I'm 42. Yeah. I've wasted all this time. I need to be doing something that's worthy of something, that's achievable, that looks great, you know? And I'll never forget how my pastor looked at me and he goes, Heather, what word have you chosen for yourself this year? And I was like, well, I haven't really decided on one yet.
Yeah.
I think your word is contentment. And I was like, oh, I was like, that's not it. He goes, no. He's like, you need to hear me out. He goes, because I think the reason why you are striving so hard is because you have not come to a place of contentment in who you are and whose you are. You keep trying to work yourself into achieving things because you think that's going to bring you value and worth, and it doesn't. You have to learn to find contentment in the Lord and who He's created you to be.
Yeah.
And I really had a hard time with that. Right. Like, I really did. And I went home angry and I was like, Lord, you know, I'm mad. And because you haven't let me do the things I wanted to do. And I wanted to have these dreams of being a singer, and you just, you know, I mean, you let me do some things, but you just didn't take it to the level I wanted it to go. And now I'm a filmmaker, and now I'm this and now I'm that. And I think what he's shown me over the course of this year, that conversation has just been playing over in my mind all year. And I think he's just shown me it's because you keep putting your focus on that you think bring you value and worth. You got it all wrong, sister. You got it all wrong.
Yeah.
Value and worth only come from Jesus. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Scripture says our lives are hidden in Christ. And I think that even means our value and worth is actually hidden in the person of Christ. And when we try to like pull that apart and just make it about us and what we're doing, and it's not like we're intentionally doing that, I think, but we're just using that as some kind of gauge to measure our worth.
Yeah.
I think there's so many people trapped in that kind of flawed thinking, because in America, it is all about, welfare, you know, it's about who's the best, who's the prettiest, who's the smartest, who's, you know, it's all about gifts and talents, and God wants to strip us of any identity that's false. And yeah. I feel like for me, some of the reason that God has shut so many doors is because of what we're talking about right now, is because I didn't really know who I was and I didn't know whose I was.
Yeah.
And he's done me a favor.
Yeah.
Because you were right there in the middle of it when I felt like, you know, there was a season where, you know, I got signed with the label and you guys were part of the band, and we really thought God was going to take that somewhere bigger, and we were going to like live out our dreams. And right at that moment, God starts to just like shut everything down. And we're like, what? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? And so working through all that disappointment, working through even the anger that came with it.
Yes.
But really dying to myself, and coming to a place of seeing God's hand in it, and that it was actually a good thing. And I'm not saying that I have it all figured out now, because I don't. I'm just like you just described this year. I think I had one of those moments even last week where I broke down and almost grieved in my spirit, feeling like, man, like what a waste, God. I mean, the gifts that you've given us, you know, given me to write songs and things like that, why can I not do this, you know, at a greater level? But then there's this part of me that's like, but not my will, but yours be done, Lord, because I'm sure Jesus didn't want to go to the cross.
True.
I'm sure he would have chosen a different destiny than that, but he did it because of his love for the Father. And I think we have to keep bringing ourselves back to that place where we just surrender and even surrender the dreams that you think think came from God.
Yes.
Which is not easy.
Not easy.
But it's, I think it's beautiful to God that you would lay down what you wanted to do and pursue. But even though it's funny, because parts of what you wanted to do, you still do.
Right.
I mean, I'm not sure. I know that you want to do some more music, but it's not going to be your focus.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the same for me. And it's funny because I even feel like some of that anointing to do that has lifted from my life, and I hesitate to even use anointing, but some of that grace to do that, like even when I think about touring and traveling, I think about how miserable that would be right now. That's like some of the things that I think the enemy dangles that stuff in front of you to try to, this is what you really want, this is what, you know, you were made for, but then the truth of it is God knows that you really weren't made for that, and you would actually be miserable in it.
Yeah. Well, I completely agree. And in fact, actually was going to say something else, but actually that made me think of something else. So, but I was thinking about how, you know, back in college, when I was in college, that was the time when I was really pursuing, okay, I'm going to go to Nashville and I'm going to record CDs and I'm going to make it. I'm going to get signed by a label, and this is what I'm going to be. And I'm going to be a solo artist. I'm going to do concerts. And I mean, I just had it all just, you know, planned out in my mind how what it was going to look like. And then after so many years of that not happening, and then 2 years ago, my vocal coach, I had been working with him because I started having voice problems that, you know, you remember that happening. And I remember after working with him for several months, we finally kind of got me back to where I needed to be vocally. And one day, Dr. Martin, he just said, okay, I think you're ready to try it out a little bit. I want you to go ahead and plan a little 45-minute concert, and I want you to try to implement some of the things that we've been working on and see how your voice does. This is a great time for you to just kind of get out and start trying to do this again. And I was like, I remember when he told me, I was just like, oh, I don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. And, but I went ahead and I did it anyway. And you know what I found is that when I got done with that concert, like it was kind of a bittersweet emotional thing because part of me was like, cool. I got to implement everything that I've learned and my voice held up and it went great. And hey, thank you, Lord, that you helped me through that. But on the flip side, I walked off stage going, I'm exhausted. Like,
right.
This was not fun doing this by myself. I don't want to do this again, you know?
Right.
And I think it's so weird that 20 years later, 20 years removed from when I was in college and trying to pursue that thing till now. And I don't know if it's just because it's a different season of life or just because I'm older or you know, life's more full now because I'm chasing kids and, you know, I'm Uber mom all the time and, and just trying to fit in my little dream there is, it was too much for me. I mean, I literally walked off going, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't, the dream that I once had, I just don't think that I have it in me to do it the way I had envisioned it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can totally relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it just looks different now. It just, now, I still love to sing, although right now I think I'm kind of in a little sabbatical time in life because a few months ago the Lord asked me to lay it down again.
Okay.
But, oh gosh, you know,
I know you know this.
And how many times the Lord has asked me to lay it down and I'm like, no, Lord, no.
Right.
And, cause I do still love to sing and I love singing back.
And you're a fantastic singer too. I mean, no doubt you have the gift. I mean, that's not the issue, right?
Well, I hope not.
It was some other reason. God just had some other plan, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, I was talking to my managers. Well, I guess it's been about a year ago now, but I was talking to them and I mean, you and I had this conversation at dinner one night about a year ago, but I came to the realization that maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. Mm-hmm. Maybe music ministry is not what I'm supposed to do. And, because I've always kind of felt like I lacked, you know, in talent, like, the Lord gave me a voice to sing with, but I always felt like I was lacking in every other musical area. And I was like, maybe I just don't have what it takes, you know, maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. And I remember, I was kind of feeling like led kind of in the more writing route where I thought, well, I've been doing a lot of writing lately. So, I mean, maybe this is something the Lord's leading me to or whatever. And so I talked to my managers about it and they were like, yes, let's do it. Let's put music on the back burner for a while and let's, you know, let's focus on this writing thing. And so this past year we've been working on my new website and I've started recently publishing things and making them public for people and everything. And, but about, I'd say probably about 3 or 4 months ago, man, the Lord hit me because even though I was putting out my writing stuff, it hit me one day because when my website came up, my managers who designed my website had put on my, my homepage picture, they put author, speaker, and coach. And when I read those three words, like I broke down because everything in me was like, oh my gosh, that's not who I am. I'm not, I mean, I do write, but I don't really consider myself like an author, you know? And I have done some speaking engagements, but I don't really see myself as a speaker and a coach. I mean, I teach preschool for crying out loud. I'm not really a coach, you know? But I was like, but everything that I've defined myself as, well, you know, in my mind, my strongest gift is singing. And that's not being portrayed on here anywhere. And I really struggled with that because I was like, you know, they're defining me as something that I'm not, or in my mind that I'm not. And the one thing that I feel like I'm the greatest at is not being portrayed at all. And I really felt like, and I really struggled with that. And I really went to the Lord, I brought it to him and I was just asking him, I said, Lord, I'm really struggling with this, you know? And I really felt like, just kind of really sensed that the Holy Spirit was saying, Heather, it's time to lay that down.
Hey friends, thanks for joining me on this episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. Here are some ways that you can connect with me. You can go to Facebook and look up Shanna Strange Ministries. You can go to shannastrange.net to my website, or you can go to Instagram. It's Shanna_Strange. I'll see you next week.